Mr. Preacher Man, I don't want no trouble. I just came to praise and worship with my brothers, praying to the Lord and hoping he forgive us. I want God to save us, don't want the streets to kill us. I'm like, Mr. Preacher Man, I don't want no trouble. I just came to praise and worship with my brothers, praying to the Lord and hoping he forgive us. I want God to save us, don't want the streets to kill us. I'm like, Mr. Preacher Man, please don't be alarmed. We just come to pray, we don't mean no harm. I see how you're looking, of course we ain't perfect. We figured if we came to see Jesus, it would be worth it. We live up the block, and I know you've seen us running from the cops. All this senseless killing, we want it to stop. We want you to know, sir, if you don't let us in, we have no place to go, sir. Mr. Preacher Man, I don't want no trouble. I just came to praise and worship with my brothers, praying to the Lord and hoping he forgive us. I want God to save us, don't want the streets to kill us. I'm like, Mr. Preacher Man, I don't want no trouble. I just came to praise and worship with my brothers, praying to the Lord and hoping he forgive us. I want God to save us, don't want the streets to kill us. I'm like, I'm the preacher man, Bible in my hand. I'm so glad that you all came to church today, my friend. And yes, you all are welcomed as we seek his face. Here we like the organ, I know you like bass. That's okay, we love the same God. We may dress a little different, but love the same God. And our issues may be different, but love the same God. We want you to know, sir, that we will love you, not judge you, and want you to grow, sir. Mr. Preacher Man, I don't want no trouble. I just came to praise and worship with my brothers, praying to the Lord and hoping he forgive us. I want God to save us, don't want the streets to kill us. I'm like, Mr. Preacher Man, I don't want no trouble. I just came to praise and worship with my brothers, praying to the Lord and hoping he forgive us. I want God to save us, don't want the streets to kill us. Oh,
now watch me, watch me, watch me, watch me, watch me. Watch me, watch me worship. Now watch me, watch me, watch me, watch me, watch me, watch me, watch me worship. Now watch me, watch me, watch me, watch me, watch me, watch me, watch me worship. Now watch me, watch me, watch me, watch me, watch me, watch me, watch me worship.
Mr. Preacher Man, I don't want no trouble. I just came to praise and worship with my brothers, praying to the Lord and hoping he forgive us. I want God to save us, don't want the streets to kill us. I'm like, Mr. Preacher Man, I don't want no trouble. I just came to praise and worship with my brothers, praying to the Lord and hoping he forgive us. I want God to save us, don't want the streets to kill us. Oh, nah, 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 I don't want no trouble. I just come to worship.
Oh, nah, nah, nah.
I just come to worship. I just come to worship.
Oh, nah, nah.
Now watch me, watch me, watch me, watch me, watch me, watch me, watch me worship. Now watch me, watch me, watch me, watch me, watch me, watch me, watch me worship.
Amen, 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 amen. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Welcome to another exciting training day. Amen. This is a day the Lord has made, and we shall certainly rejoice and be glad in it while we have a chance. Amen. Down here on earth. You know, if you think about it, when you're a Christian, this is no end situation. Alive or not alive on earth, you still get to be in the presence of the Lord. And actually, when you leave here, the veil is gone, amen, and you actually see who you worshiping at, and it's something that's got to be awesome. Amen, hallelujah. Giving honor to Jesus Christ, Lord God, Jehovah, amen, and the blessed Holy Ghost, amen, Pastor O, the producer, amen, and pastor of Running for Christ Ministries, his lovely wife, and all the saints and friends, hallelujah, amen, hallelujah. Everyone that's listening in, I say praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, last week we started another series leading up to Christmas week, and that is why we need a Savior. You know, why was Jesus Christ born? And the point is to understand that this was always part of God's plan. This wasn't plan B. You know, even though Christ came 4,000 years after the first man was created. But if you really look into it, it makes sense when you look at the totality of our nature and our creation. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's go before the throne of grace. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you and praise you and bless your holy, righteous name for this opportunity to come before you. We thank you that it comes with a high price. But it says how much you love us. Amen. In that to achieve this, you sent the first begotten Son, Jesus, amen, to die on the cross for us and to be resurrected and to endure such a tumult, such a travesty, such tragedy in order for us to receive salvation and redemption. And Father, we ask right now that you bless us with a greater anointing. Bless the eyes of our understanding more that we will better know what is the hope of your calling, better know what is the riches of your glory, the inheritance you have in the saints, the great and exceeding power that you made available to them that submit and obey you. And Father God, right now we ask that you bless us with the knowledge of your will on an individual basis so that we'll know and carry it out and be fruitful in every good work approved of by you. Bless us to grow in the knowledge of you as we read and seek you through your word, amen, and in meditation. Father God, right now I ask that you bless my tongue, bless me, bless my tongue to be that of a ready writer, to write upon the hearts of your people and even my own. We want it to be all of you and none of me, in Jesus' name, amen. You know, this year, back in 1975, well, it was after, I had to say, I don't know, between 76 and 80 somewhere, I can't specifically remember. I just out of curiosity asked God, why did you let Christmas exist? And I had asked because at that time I had learned that Jesus' birthday wasn't December 25th and how this holiday came about. You know, and this is lots of material. You can probably go on Wikipedia, and then if you do support Wikipedia, it only asks like $10 a year to provide tremendous information. Because it became significant to me, I was thinking back to Christmas 1975 when me and my younger brother was out celebrating, you know, and Just out of nowhere, we start thinking about the fact that it was Jesus. It was Jesus' birthday that we were celebrating. We were celebrating his birth, even though it wasn't his birthday. But something happened. While we were driving, we just got caught up in the moment and just started praising him. You know, I don't know what he was thinking about, but I was thinking about the fact that I was alive. You know, and that I did know a little bit about him. And I mean, and I mean, from that point, something happened. See, God took was all of a sudden from that point on, nothing was going to be the same again. See, I didn't know that encounter was going to change things. And that next year led up to my being delivered and drawn closer to God. And the reason I say delivered is because God took me back and show me, you know, where I had prayed that prayer that I pray at the end of every meeting, every service we have here, every broadcast, and how simple that was. And this is what a lot of people make a mistake at. They assume nothing happened. They didn't grow and turn purple or whatever and shake. Nothing happened when they just simply said, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. But something happened. One, it is a legal action. Okay, because you're an individual person. As here in the United States, we have the Fourth Amendment, which basically prevents the government from invading your privacy. Even I'm not going to get into that, but that's what the law is designed to do. Laws let you know when you're wrong. That's what I say about that. And God operates on that same principle. Now, one of the things you have to understand about God and principles is in finding Romans 1:20. It says, when you look at how things operate in the world, it'll give you kind of a visual of how things operate in the kingdom of God. Now, God respects your privacy, you know, and I find that to be significant in the fact that when I had asked him why, how did he, being omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent, not know where Adam was? If you remember back when he went last week when we were talking about when God came to visit Adam and they had got in, had lost their anointing, they had sinned, you know, and I'm thinking, you know, how do you not know where he is? You know, how do you not know? And he politely told me that he respected Adam's privacy. And so God will envelop you and separate himself from you in those private moments. So don't think God is in your bedroom watching your wife, you and your spouse, married people, do the boogie woogie, all right? So, you know, he ain't voyeuristic like that. God is, he is a perfect gentleman, okay? And you will find, if you keep that mindset, you will see that throughout the Bible, because that connects to what he said in Genesis 1:26, let us give man dominion. He meant that. See, because I'll tell you, as we go through this, at some points and places, we're going to see where God was not on the scene. He was invited in, and he came in. But see, at the same time, you need to understand what happened in Genesis 2:7 was tremendous. I mean, you know, we act like God, that breath was like our breath, but even our breath seen under a microscope does shows tremendous activity. See, our eyes are limited, and we have to look at these things, capture them, and look at these things under a microscope, but you will see life forms coming out of your mouth. That's why you can smell it. That's another level of sensory. The point is, understand, we are here, if you don't get nothing else, we are here to learn our nature and how to manage it to the level that it is right with God. That's the best way I can say that for right now. See, we don't know what we need to know without his guidance. And this is why we need a Savior. See, we were going, God knows, as individual thinking, creative individuals, that we would need guidance. You also know that can, as you have seen in your lifetime, if you're old enough to hear this, you've seen it in your lifetime, where people, a man, that particularly now in our history, thinks that he can make decisions that God disagrees with and that he's smarter than God. For instance, you got highly intelligent individual with consonants behind their name talking about children know how to decide what sex they are. Biology has decided what sex you are. They need to be getting their minds right. That's what it is. But they also don't understand the realm that we live in. And see, and this is the whole point. God fully realizes that at the fullness, we're going to be at a level that we don't really understand. Right now, we're using 20% of our mind, our ability to focus. When Jesus come back or when a person dies, they use 100%. That needs to be guarded. I haven't found the word that I'm trying to find yet. I haven't asked God for a word. But, it's not that. It regulates it. This is what the Word of God tells us how we're supposed to behave, okay? And you'll see, as we're going to see through our time, that's a struggle. Because we think everybody thinks they have a better way. You know, and I'm at times it is better, but it's never better than God. Never. Because see, we know the short term, he know the full term. It's his plan. All right? Because again, like I say, it's because we are outside of our bodies, such powerful individuals. First, let's read our headline scripture, going to the Savior. There are people that struggle with this, too. Think about this. We're going to Luke chapter 2, verse 10 and 11, okay? And that's all I'm going to read on that. It says, then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring good tidings a great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And I want to read Isaiah 60:15. See, because this thing, the whole point in this, in my reading this, is for you to get an understanding of not to set limitations on what we are dealing with here. Isaiah 60:16. And listen at this, okay? It said, you shall drink the milk of the Gentiles and the milk of the breast of kings, okay? And you shall know that I, the Lord, am your Savior and Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. Then comes the question is, how many saviors are there? This is the Lord God Jehovah talking right here, okay? This is the Creator. This is an Isaiah. This is 700 years before Jesus is born, okay? Bottom line is, nobody could save us but God. And it amazed me from early on when I first engaged in a debate with somebody before I had read Titus 3:9, and he said, don't debate. That's how I define it. Because I can't change a person's mind. And if they won't go to God to get a revelation, ain't nothing I have for them, really. It always comes to that, okay? The revelation comes from God. We can only get the information. Revelation comes from God. You know, this is why we have, anyway, that's how all these denominations were born. They didn't ask God. I don't think no person is about it. They got off track, asked God about it. They gathered some information and assumed they were right. And didn't consult God about it. Now, that connects actually to, let's go back to 1 John chapter 3, which is the foundation for training day, in verse 2. And it says, 1 John 3:2, it says, Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, and everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. The he, which is capitalized in the New King James Version, which I forgot to tell y'all, I'm reading about it, don't really matter. You may have a anyway, a different type of Bible. The point of the matter here is that John here is coloring in, is illustrating, telling us our nature. And that's the key there. We have to learn to be in submission to God under every situation. And that's challenging because, again, we have a mind. Man is a spirit with a mind, will, and emotion. And my understanding of that, the mind, is your mama told you, mind your own business. In other words, focus on your business and not hers or theirs. Get out of grown folk conversation. And will is the energy that you put toward what you focus on. And emotions is an evaluation of what you think about, what you put your will to, and what you are focused on. And this is what we are to do with life. But God has given us specific criteria that we have to live by. Now, going back to Genesis, okay, well, last week we were just going to do a quick review. We got into Adam's sin, okay, and that happened. Even though God had told him, he said, if you eat of this tree, you're going to die, okay? Now, that somebody was going to eat that tree. I guarantee you that. You know, I mean, it's like everything else. All right. So the point of the matter is if Adam had been, we talked about how if Adam had been omniscient rather than cognition, he would have known that there was Satan inside of a serpent's body and running game on him, to put it short, you know, as it is. And so that didn't happen. But again, you have to understand that when God decided, long before he even created angels, that this was going to come into pass, he already knew the outcome. But he also knew, again, that he was going to bring about thinking individuals that weren't, part of them was going to submit to him and part of them wouldn't. So he knew this. This was not a bad plan. This was not a messed up plan. We have a misunderstanding. And it's sad that people suffer the consequences when he gives strong warning what will happen if you don't. I mean, we're not robots, okay? We're not wind-up toys that you can throw in the trash bin and recycle, okay? We're made after the image and after the image and likeness of God. Now, I'm going to tell you about that likeness. That's a revelation I got from God. That's my inner man, what we're talking about, what this is talking about in 1 John. The fact that we're our inner person, our spirit, my spirit is sending signals to my brain, and my brain is sending signals to all the muscles involved in my mouth to make me speak, okay, at a very high rate of speed. I mean, you're talking tremendous transactions that, based on my little math, it's like 165 millionths of a second that these transactions, that every cell is energized specifically to cause these vibrations to emanate. And your ear likewise has to calculate them, traveling by your head at 600 miles an hour, break them down, analyze them so you can hear each word I'm saying. That's your likeness. See, we know what the image is like, all right? So now, last week we had got up to chapter 5. Now, it is something out of Genesis chapter 5, that is. And it was a few things. One thing I wanted to go back over in Genesis chapter 4, I believe it is. No, let's see. Yes, it is in Genesis chapter 4. And verse 22, actually, because we're going to time to get away from it this week, don't. And I said I was going to do something different this week. Bear with me a second here. What we got left? Okay. I'm going to run the clock. Hallelujah. I'm going to keep track. All right. And it says it deals with a genealogy. Well, I start with verse 19. And then Lamech took for himself two wives. The name of one was Ada, and the name of the second was Zillah. And Ada bore Jubal, and he was the father of those who dwell in tents and have livestock. His brother's name was Jubal. Jubal, spelled with a J-U. The other one was Jabal, J-A. And he was the father of those who played the harp and the flute. And as for Zillah, she also bore Tubal Cain, an instructor of every craftsman in bronze and iron, and the sister of Tubal Cain was Naamah. So the point here is a lot of research that has come to pass in recent time that show that man had advanced technologically to a certain level. And that level remained for basically 6,000 years, almost up to roughly about 200 years ago when we went to the next level. But here, because you find it later on, if remember if we read that they had begun to develop weapons. And it's ironic, not ironic, but I was reading more details in the book of Jasher, and it just gives you a little more light on that issue of where man was. Now, and again, and so he quickly developed weapons. And that's that nature of us that want to control and be in charge and be recognized. That's, see, because that nature of in us come from God. And this is where people struggle with, because God's nature is superior. And we have that in us. But we have to recognize, again, we're on the Konai level and he's on the Omni level. And people struggle with that, even though the reality is clearly in their face and the fact that gravity maintained control of them. As much as they would like to jump up and fly, this is why man tends to build things that fly, because he knows he should be further out there. We will in life part two. Gravity won't have the control that it has now, which is another reason why God insisted we understand two things that Jesus taught, and that was to love God okay, go through the training, love God because it ain't going to be always be pleasant, and love your neighbor because that's the person you're going to fellowship with forever. And if we're struggling, really struggling at this 15% level, what guarantee do God have that we're going to do it at the 100% level? See, you have to prove, show now. Now, understand, your salvation is paid for if you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Now, whether or not you can advance to the next level, that's a decision you make. And that covers a lot of criteria, I mean, a lot of areas. You know, some people can, doing nothing is as much sin, like, for instance, people that never pray. That's as much sin as people that cuss. Cussing is really like laying on your back and spitting up in the air. Spit don't come right down in your face. But I put it like stealing. It's the same sin, same level of sin. Actually, it even goes with murder because you could probably prevent somebody's death by praying. Okay, everybody right now, if you're not praying for the peace of Jerusalem, you're definitely in sin. Because, see, we're the only one that can protect them, actually. All right. So what I want you to get is the mental level that man has progressed to right there. All right? So now, down here in verse 25, now, mind you, Cain had killed Abel back, you know, and earlier in this chapter. And Adam, and it says here, and Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son and named him Seth. For God appointed another seed for me instead of Abel, whom Cain killed. As for Seth, to him also was born, and he named him Enos in the King James, E-N-O-S. Listen at this. It says, then men began to call on the name of the Lord. And now that's very significant. I sadly did not go back. Well, you're in about 200 years time period. Actually a lot longer. 800-900 years. But anyway, point of the matter is, this is when men, now what's really unique is that this name men here isn't Adam, isn't mankind. It is the Hebrew word shalal, kalal, and I found it interesting that it had some negative connotations in it, which was really surprising. See, and this is why you will find that men of God, women of God will often refer to the original writings, which were in the Old Testament was written in Hebrew and the New Testament was written in Greek. And a lot of time we will make assumptions because we don't know what it means. But when you go to, Bible training, this is what they give you as a book. Every Christian should have. It's called Strong Concordance. You can download it now. And sometimes you really do need to, as here, I was directed to look at that. It showed me, I was led by the Holy Spirit to look it up, and I was really surprised that it had negative connotations. It says, in one, it talked about to profane oneself, defile oneself, pollute oneself ritually or sexually, to be polluted, okay? And which was really kind of shocking. And then you got in the Strong's, it says, properly to bore, that is, to wound, to dissolve, to break, as if to begin by opening a wedge. Bottom line is, this is when revelation, because actually I asked the author, about it, and he said this is when men begin to sense a need for God, and they begin to organize. And again, there are other books that historically, Flavius, Josephus, they indicate that they begin to, God appointed leaders. Okay, there's always been, because now you're hearing a lot of talk about Adam prophesying the end of the world in our time too, So this was known because, one, it's always been in the spirit of God, which he put in the spirit of man, but God brings things up at the appointed time. Lately, I've been seeing the word imprecation. implicate. And implication, and I've been a Christian for 46 years, and I didn't know that word existed until a couple of years ago. But see, there's a reasoning before that. Before that is simply because one of the reasons that I would think that the book of Joshua was left out of the original canon is that man would have sought a different type of relationship with God, or he would have pursued a different mindset than one of love. Because the love is what this is about. That's the guarantor that we would, that's the ground, that's the mindset that will maintain a relationship that's properly between us and another person and God all at the same time. See, and what this is, like I say, here now with leadership, because you'll find, again, as I was reading in other books, that, like for instance, that Noah was the one that taught Abraham about God, and Abraham's father had got off into idolatry, and this is the see, but this particular aspect, this particular scripture here, is indicating not only just a need for God, but a specific God, because even during this time, man had got into idol worship. It's amazing that you don't find at this time men that said there is no God, because they, you know, it's kind of hard to argue their existence, you know, that it does happen. It's amazing now that 6,000 years later we had these so-called smart people that think there is no God. But again, we're going to find later on down the road as we get closer to Christmas Day that without God, man, we will be in big trouble. We will be in big trouble. Because now we go to chapter 5, and that's what we got. That's what we ended last week. And instead, this is the book of the genealogy of Adam. In that day, God created man and made him in the likeness of God. Okay, verse 1. He created them male and females, and I've been searching and I haven't found female nowhere, you know, in the listing. And blessed them and called them, now in the King James, it calls them Adam, in that day they were created. Now, and in this, when they call, in this New King James Version, they call them mankind, okay? And that's a message in and of itself. And Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness after his image and named him Seth, all right? And it's amazing that the name Seth, my notes here, means compensation. In other words, that name was it specified that he was a replacement for Adam. I mean, for Abel. And but again, if you remember right back, that's where see because Adam had taught Seth, and Seth taught Enos, and then men began to call upon the name of the Lord. All right. Now, again, it's about us managing our behavior on all levels. You know. The Bible covers everything. I mean, how we should act in business, how we should act in personal relationship. You know, I was in a discussion about marriage, and the fact is a lot of people don't know that God started marriage. That's why you can't go to the civil office anywhere in the United States and get a book on marriage, get a rule book on marriage. And people tend to want to make their own rules, which explains the high divorce rate. But you understand, marriage and the kingdom of God are directly related. How to conduct a marriage is related to how God expects his kingdom to be conducted. They are identical. How pastors treat a church is the same way. How they run a church is about how God would run the kingdom. They're supposed to prepare people for the kingdom of God, not just to go to heaven, not be good to go to heaven. That's why a lot of people had these limited ideas of how their relationship's supposed to be. You know, this is not get people, you know, somebody said something that really stuck with me, you know, about people that don't want to go to church. When they talked about the fact that one of the symptoms of a person dying, I guess they worked in a one of them rehab homes, you know, where they send old people to die. Anyway, and one of the things classic about a person dying is that they don't want to eat.
And that's what it is. When a person is dying, they don't want to eat. And then when a person don't want to go to church, they don't want to go to eat. They're dying spiritually. Amen. Because, you know, I know, here I am 46 years, and I still go to church every now and then. I go to church on a regular basis, but every now and then I get a correction. And I'm like, wow, okay, I was kind of right, but that means I was all the way wrong. So, but this is the whole point. See, again, we're going to go to 100%. You know, I responded today to somebody that they said we will be sinless. No, we won't be sinless in the next life. There's only going to be, this is opinionated, okay? But my opinion comes from, I got my information from God, and he said he's going to be the only perfect person. Now, we won't act the way we act now, because there's a lot of things, particularly during that 1,000 years, all the demons and Satan will be locked up. So they won't be, all you have is our base nature, which, as we can see, even without provocation from demons, we can get big-headed. And that's what we're going to have to learn, because you're going to have two type of natures of man on the planet at the same time. Okay, because I got new people. I'm going to review this. First gen man is from Adam to Jesus, and that's man without the Holy Spirit. Okay, and I got some information on that in my videos. And then second gen man was after Christ's resurrection. He sent back the Holy Spirit, which he had promised that he would do. So that's Christ on the inside of us. Christ is God in our spirit. And that's another whole level of authority and power. Understand, because you can't split the planet in half now. You do have that capability. I know that seems crazy, but again, look at what the basics is. Even if you look at your eyes right now, and you look between you and the wall, you can see the wall because the molecules are spinning a lot less slower. And if you got various colors on there, the brighter the color, the faster the molecules are spinning. But between your eyes and that wall, our signals passing at 186,000 miles per second, and because they're moving that fast, you can't see them, but they exist. And these are things that we have to understand about our spiritual nature, okay? None of this is hidden from the saints that have gone on, okay? See, a lot of things that you see in movies, particularly these Marvel movies with all these super characters in there, those are people you will often see that do not operate in two realms. They do not love God, and they don't love their neighbor. And that's why they fight the way they do. But it shows what it would be like without that. You know, and again, that's what Romans 1:20, the invisible things of him from the creation of the world can be clearly seen, being understood by things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. Even his, God's, eternal power and Godhead. In all three levels, and that's so. Again, we're here. Okay, I get it. You're here. You didn't ask to come. You're here. I put that argument before God. That was his response. You're here. What you gonna do? You got a choice: heaven or hell. Pick one. See, and it's sad that people are so, because God ain't that hard. I know the church and Christianity made it hard. You know, creating dark chasm. Religions and rituals. Anytime somebody try to get you to commit to a ritual, have them show it to you in the Bible, okay? Yeah, if it ain't in the Bible, you have no obligation to commit to it, okay? Okay, a communion is in the Bible, all right? And it explains why, okay? Baptism is in the Bible. It explains why. Worshiping God. Let me tell you, as an FYI, you don't want to go days without. We don't spend 3-4 minutes every day worshiping God. Every morning when I pray, my first prayer of the day begins with worship. Every day. Every day. You know, if I happen to have a day, if I don't do breakfast prayers, it would be called, I'm going to do it that day. Because sometimes, you know, my day get 20 hours and I don't get to get up at 3-4 in the morning, you know. But when I do, my first one is going to begin with worship. And when you begin with worship, you will be encouraged to pray. You know, keep a list of people that need prayer, too. Put my name on it. I'm serious. Now we're going to move to chapter 6, okay? We done moved in now. We're about 2,000 years in history, all right, roughly thereabout. Don't get into no argument with people. No, it's like 1960. Listen, God knows the day. Let me tell you something that I also picked with the 6,000-year reign of man. It began with the day that Adam was created. Ain't but one person didn't know that, okay? The day, okay? The day and how he measured the time, because there are two measurements of time, solar and whatever. Anyway, that ain't what I'm focused on. All right, so now you're moved in, man, they got, even though as we saw with man, he understand Satan is still on the scene. You don't hear about him. He's not in the Bible at this time. But he's still on the scene manipulating people. They're dealing with a person that has an IQ of 35,000. So I was saying 3,500. But I was told to raise it because of what it takes to do what he does. Okay, he don't drive a car flying a plane. That dude can teleport. You have to understand what it takes. If you want to get it, some kind of idea, you got to look up the late Chuck Missler, Beyond Time and Space on YouTube. You might have to watch it 15 times, but don't be discouraged. Pray before you watch it. Amen. And God will kind of give you an idea of what he was trying to explain. He was a NASA scientist and a man of God trying to explain this realm that we live in. Because it's tremendous. It's more than we can even imagine. It's far more than we can imagine, and this is why all the Bible hinges, as Jesus said, on two scriptures, two ideas. Love God, love your neighbor. All right. So this is what now we're going to see there. Stop loving God. It says, Genesis chapter 6, verse 1, it says, now it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives of them to all of themselves of whom they chose. Now, and it says, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed blessed. Yes, his days shall be 120. That's why you're starting to hear more people talking about, I want to be 120 years old. It says, and there were giants on the earth in those days and also afterwards, and the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bore children to them, and they were also mighty men who were of old, men of renown. And what that's, this is another debatable issue in, let's go to Matthew chapter 22 and verse 30. Because it's vital. The one thing about the Bible, as it says in Isaiah chapter 28, everything has to line up, okay? And that's a powerful chapter. All right. Now, this is Jesus responding to the Sadducees, and they really were sad, you see, because these people they were very religious people, but they didn't believe in life after death. Man, believe me, if there was no life after death, one, we wouldn't be having this conversation. Two, it's a lot of people wouldn't be here. Well, not a lot of people. Only a few I could think of. I would make an earnest effort. I'd be one of the most hunted men in the country. I'd deal with problems, not symptoms. But there is a God. He made that clear November 16, 1976. He loved me without doubt. You know, and he did it in a very nice way too. Very nice. God don't do hard stuff. You would have to be me now to get swatted by God. And let me be, that's another whole issue. So if something bad happened to you, it's probably because you're trying to do right, or you belong to a family that does right. And Satan don't love you. It didn't come from God. This God, God never sends judgment without warning. Okay? He never sends judgment without warning. That's everything. Everything, anything come without warning, that's the devil. He has a lot of authority in the earth, and a lot of people don't have authority over him. That's why Mecca's over there getting tore up. But anyway, that's another whole issue. Look it up on YouTube. Anyway, It said the same day the Sadducees who say there is no resurrection. That's comical. Anyway, came to him and asked him, saying, Teacher, Moses said that if a man dies having no children, his brother shall marry his wife, raising up offspring for his brother. Now there were with us seven brothers. The first died, and he had married, and having no offspring, left his wife to his brother. And likewise, the second also, and the third, and the seventh, and all seven of them died. Okay? And also the woman died. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife shall the seven will she be? For they all had had her. Anyway. And Jesus answered and said to him, You are mistaken, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels of God in heaven. But concerning the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what was spoken to God by saying, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Now, the key point here, that word marry, okay, is where we get the word coitus, which is a word that expresses sexual activity. Angels don't have internal organs. They don't have reproductive organs. There are no baby angels. There's only one female angel in the Bible. I forget what that is, and she was some kind of evil creature. They don't work like we work. They don't live like we live. They don't have the same instinct we have. We would be lower level creatures in all actuality. And see, just like the book of now let's go back to Genesis chapter 6. Now, I don't want you to, don't take my word for it, okay? Go to the source, because it's critical for understanding this for one reason only. It's happening right now. The big issue here is when they cross the scripture here. Okay, what they cross is the big teaching on the Nephilim, all right? The Nephilim description is I'm going to read you what it says in the Hebrew. It is not the same as people think it says. This is another reason. As a matter of fact, let me tell you, I have a Bible downloaded. It's called Kairos. Kairos, you can download it. And for $6, they'll let you download all the commentaries and the Strong's and I can't think. It's two concordance, okay? Now, here, the word giant, it's got Nephilim, and it says in Strong's, it says properly a feller. And then that's a rude individual. Okay, so, you go back to the old guy and then they call you a fella. We now use a different term for that that describes a man having an incestuous relationship with his family, with his mother. Okay, that's the best way to put it. And it says that is a bully or a tyrant. Now, we're going to go and look at the where it talks about the sons of Anak, because that's a different type. You're talking about giants. In other words, what I'm saying here, all right, now, I have no debate that there were giants back then. Not at all. What my issue was that it did not match up with what Jesus said. Now, and that information, for the most part, come from a book that they said Elias was written by Enoch, okay? We didn't touch on Enoch, read Enoch. And Enoch was an upright, righteous man of God that has never died. We may go back to that. But now here in Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 11, it talks about, it says, which also were accounted giants as the Anakims, but the Moabites called them the Emims. All right? Now, and using the term Rapha, R-A-P-H-A-H, or R-A-P-H-A-A, all right? And that, though, describes a very large person, such as Goliath. Goliath was probably like 9 feet tall, weighed about 800 pounds. Now, but again, now what that connects to, now what I'm trying to say is let me read you what Jasher said about that. And it'll probably help you. But anyway, what Jasher talked about, the fact that there were leaders. They were magistrates, people of authority. I thought I put it in my Bible. Anyway. But bottom line, and he to me, what bottom line is, what matched up. Remember when it said, men began to call upon the name of the Lord. What you have consistently through the Bible, okay, and is that when the leadership, spiritual leadership, start teaching that which is not acceptable to God, when building the kingdom of God is no longer their objective, as you see now with all these, when anytime you got situations like pastors telling people that rather than telling them that God can deliver them from homosexuality, and that they are okay in that state. Now, I'm not going to judge homosexuals, because right now a lot of them are coming forth from a variety of several reasons. One, genetic manipulation. Science is engaged. Because you got this group of people that's into population control. Then you got Satan, who's behind. Satan is behind it all. And the reason what his objective is to decrease the growth of the kingdom of God. Now, okay, now I find it. This is in Jasher 4:18. And this is what he is saying is in Genesis 6:1. And it says, and their judges and rulers went to the daughters of men and took wives by force from their husbands according to their choice. And the sons of men in those days took cattle from the herds and beasts. And bottom line is the religious leaders, because back then, this is why you hear people talking about separation of church and state. There's a lot of history behind that, too. But they have become corrupt. Satan had manipulated them mentally, okay, to the point that they have begun to rebel against God. And see, again, that happens when you, as an individual, stop spending time with God daily. You know, one of the things about this, of maintaining your power with God, it's about being consistent with him on a daily basis, because with God, he don't hear you. One of the criteria, you know, I have a list of 7 criteria of prayer failure, and one of those criteria is unforgiveness. And just on that issue, particularly with married people, you know, you get into, an intense discussion, and then the Bible tells you don't go to bed angry. And what Jesus said, matter of fact, let's read what he said so you get an understanding. I know I'm throwing a lot here into this detail, but again, the issue is why we need a Savior. Because left to ourselves, we would just live in defiance of God and think we're all right. Look around you now and how people act. I mean, I hear stuff from people that just, anytime sinners think it's stupid, you know the church should be thinking it's stupid, okay? This is Mark 11:25, and it says, whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive them, forgive him. He uses him. I wonder why. That your Father in heaven may also forgive your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will you, will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. In other words, you don't forgive, God won't forgive you. Okay, now, let me try to connect these dots here. How they got to that level where they just was out of control was that they quit spending time with God. Remember, Enoch, during the time of Enos, it says, self was born of Enos, and then men began to call upon the name of the Lord. See, when you go before God each day, if you're not right about something, he's going to bring it to your attention. That's how I know. Because he do. And that's the whole point of this life, is I can't leave God out. That's the, hey, nothing is more important than that. He should be involved in your daily decision. This is why every day, and I met another person that does what I do, and I've never met this person before, but they command the angels every day, okay? And the reason we have to command them every day, angels are locked in with God, okay? Now, if we are out of order, they ain't going to listen. And what's critical about that right now is that death is all around us. The death angel ain't going to get laid off. He got a full-time job, okay? Now, I hate to bring this up, but the Uvalde children, because most people know about that. How did that happen? The parents. The parents, somewhere there's a disconnect between them and God. That's what allows Satan to go up in there and do that type of damage to children. See? And this is why, because, see, now, if I'm in order, one, I've got to have a covenant with God, okay? If you're not in Christ, you really living in dangerous territory. You really are. And that's, you know, almost any Christian should be able to explain that to you. You got to have a covenant with God. And then there are certain practices you have to strive for. Now, listen, when you're new in Christ, I know this from experience, God will give you leeway, because the night God delivered me, listen, there is nothing more precious, more valuable than the Holy Spirit of God, okay? Nothing. Nothing God can give you. He can give you the whole earth. It can't compare to having the Holy Spirit. November 16, 1976, when God gave me his Holy Spirit at the level that he did, listen, I was living with a woman, drug addict, thief. I was everything wrong. No reason, no justifiable reason for God to give me the gift of eternal life. None. That all said, I should go to hell. And what he do? He opened the door to heaven and helped me get right. He gave me time. So if I say some things, you got to do this, and this, God will work with you. And listen, with God, if you don't quit, he won't quit. I don't care what your situation is. I don't care how many times you get it wrong. Don't worry about the other nine things. He give you one thing to work on. Work on that one thing. See? And you can make it. I can tell you, I done made it. If I made it, anybody could make it. There's a whole lot of people. They're going to hell. God are like, I done rich enough in this. You ain't got no excuse. Shoot. I tripped and fell so many times. I'm like, Lord, I'm just going to lay down here. That way I don't have to worry about falling again. He said, get up. And I got up. Dust yourself off. They say fall seven times. Jesus said 490. And then after that, another 490. After that, another 490. If you don't quit, he won't quit. I hope I'm giving you some idea, particularly the new folk. Because I know Satan is going to be on, you're in a critical time. This time in history isn't like any other time. I hate to tell y'all that war in Israel, it's going to end very ugly. You want to know how it's going to end? It's going to take 7 months to bury the dead. That's going to be when that war, part of the war ends. That's part of the war. And that ain't the worst part. The worst part starts in Revelation chapter 7 or 8. You know? And it gets worse up until Jesus comes back. And that's what this is all about, when Jesus returns. And then we'll live happily ever after. I mean, it's going to be great and marvelous. We get a restoration. We get a family reunion. All the families, all the kids, all those Uvalde kids, they're all in heaven. Now, all we had to do is work on getting the parents, to make sure the parents get there. They heard that if they live near any of them, pray for them, that they get a revelation. And do like I help them to get like I got. I got mad at the devil and I started clean. I'd be trying to rip people out of his kingdom. That's how I get my revenge. I rip people from his kingdom. That's why I do this. I'm trying to rip people from his kingdom. Amen. Now, in order to get yourself in a position, because the rapture, that's when God's going to take all his people off the planet. And everybody believes they belong to God, but there's only one way to know, and that's to accept Christ in your heart. And it is a simple process, and just simply say this prayer with me. Lord God in heaven, I believe the Bible is your word, and I believe it is a love letter to me. And Father, you said in your word that we were all born in sin. And so I acknowledge that reality. But you also sent your son to die for our sin. And he died and he was buried and went to hell in my place. And I accept that offer of forgiveness. And so I ask you, Lord, to come into my heart and to save me now. And I say with my mouth, and I believe in my heart, that I am saved. I am born again. and it's really, really that easy. That's the part, you know, that's the deep part. And I, you know, you're going to tell when you find people that you minister to, they're going to like, what, I didn't have to go to church? Yeah, you should go to church. And if you live in the Downriver area, you find your way to Run for Christ Ministry. And if you live in the Southfield, find your way to Word of Faith, because you want to be, as they say, in a Bible-believing church. And that, because you want to understand this, because it's not simple, but you can win. Many of us have been winning for years. Amen. So, but know this, that prayer is God trusting you with his power. Prayer works by faith. Faith works by love. And God is love. Shalom. See you next week if the rapture don't come. And I still see you.
Ready for the fruit cocktail. I know it's all mixed up, but it's all good. We're here to get you fixed up. Enjoy. Everything was peachy keen in the garden, but after what happened, comparing this life to that's like comparing apples to oranges. That was the start of our cocktail. We tried to rock whale and took a crack at liberty like that pear-shaped bell. Dare I say we failed. A fall like autumn after summer is all done and gone. Everything is dying, it's spoiled. Every spring hardship, no harvest till we toil in the soil. From the time we're born in this world, the flesh produces no fruit juices, just thorns and thistles. You say tomato, I say tomato. Tomorrow, I might change and make some avocado. Excuse me for the riddle. You might think it's fruity just a little, but they threw me in a doozy of a pickle.
Make it plain.
Answering questions you ain't gonna ask. We share it cause we want you prepared for the grace of wrath. Is that a crime? Raffle your melon and drop a rhyme. No one, we can do nothing unless we're attached to the vine. It's crazy. You could be raised with the best of manners. Still, Sim's got such a pill. Bananas. If he quickly cursed the fig tree for being no use, then what do you think he does to us without produce? But I heard he died to fertilize his very own crop. Then rose on a Sunday to put the cherry on top. Bear fruit.